The design of love is to reform the sinner. If the sinner's punishment here has been insufficient to reform him, the good man's heaven would be a hell to the sinner. They who know not purity and affection by experience can never find bliss in the blessed company of truth and love simply through translation into another sphere. Divine science reveals the necessity of sufficient suffering either before or after death to quench the love of sin. To remit the penalty due for sin would be for truth to pardon error. Escape from punishment is not in accordance with God's government, since justice is the handmaid of mercy. Jesus endured the shame that he might pour his dear-bought bounty into barren lives. What was his earthly reward? He was forsaken by all save John, the beloved disciple, and a few women who bowed in silent woe beneath the shadow of his cross. The earthly price of spirituality in a material age and the great moral distance between Christianity and sensualism preclude Christian science from finding favor with the worldly-minded. A selfish and limited mind may be unjust, but the unlimited and divine mind is the immortal law of justice as well as of mercy. It is quite as impossible for sinners to receive their full punishment this side of the grave as for this world to bestow on the righteous their full reward. It is useless to suppose that the wicked can gloat over their offenses to the last moment and then be suddenly pardoned and pushed into heaven, or that the hand of love is satisfied with giving us only toil, sacrifice, cross-bearing, multiplied trials, and mockery of our motives in return for our efforts at well-doing. Religious history repeats itself in the suffering of the just for the unjust. Can God, therefore, overlook the law of righteousness which destroys the belief called sin? Does not science show that sin brings suffering as much today as yesterday? They who sin must suffer. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. History is full of records of suffering. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Mortals try in vain to slay truth with the steel or the stake, but error falls only before the sword of spirit. Martyrs are the human links which connect one stage with another in the history of religion. They are earth's luminaries, which serve to cleanse and rarefy the atmosphere of material sense and to permeate humanity with purer ideals. Consciousness of right doing brings its own reward, but not amid the smoke of battle is merit seen and appreciated by lookers on. When will Jesus' professed followers learn to emulate him in all his ways and to imitate his mighty works? Those who procured the martyrdom of that righteous man would gladly have turned his sacred career into a mutilated doctrinal platform. May the Christians of today take up the more practical import of that career. It is possible, yea, it is the duty and privilege of every child, man, and woman to follow in some degree the example of the Master by the demonstration of truth and life, of health and holiness. Christians claim to be his followers, but do they follow him in the way that he commanded? Hear these imperative commands. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Heal the sick. Why has this Christian demand so little inspiration to stir mankind to Christian effort? Because men are assured that this command was intended only for a particular period and for a select number of followers. This teaching is even more pernicious than the old doctrine of foreordination, the election of a few to be saved while the rest are damned. And so it will be considered when the lethargy of mortals produced by man-made doctrines is broken by the demands of divine science.